trying to say.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the Them Shut This Podcast. We're here on Super Bowl Sunday, 2024. And yeah, we got a couple guests here. New guests, I'd say. We got Claire Young, Caitlin Anderson, and as well, Marnie's here again in person.
What's up? How's it going, everybody?
Oh, and I almost forgot about Brenner May. Brenner May's here too.
How's everyone doing?
So our first topic is going to be who is going to win the Super Bowl, the 49ers or the Swifties? Since it is Super Bowl Sunday.
Truth be told, I don't keep up with it, but everyone's favoring the Chiefs again, from what I can tell on social media.
That's what I'm thinking too, the Chiefs are.
I'm a Travis Kelce gal. I've been known to be a closet Swiftie, so.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Yeah. Plus, speaking of Travis Kelce, he has a podcast as well with his brother. Mm-hmm. Let somebody inbox me to that. What you think, Brian?
Yeah, probably by popular demand, it's going to be probably Kansas City. But I just think that just how, you know, for the demand of the popularity of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, I think we're going to be more in favor of that, and it might happen that way. It's just all entertainment.
I'm an underdog person myself, so it would be nice to see the 49ers win.
They might, they could.
I'm going to put 300 down right now.
Yeah, we're recording this a little bit before the game. I think it starts in about an hour. You could put $50 down.
I still got time on Prize Picks.
Just put $5 down, you can win like $250.
You know, all those betting apps are making a lot of money today.
Definitely.
Merch is making a lot of money today too.
And the ads too, advertisements. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's also one of our topics as well.
I wonder what new movies are going to come out.
Yeah, same. I guess we'll have to wait and see. See if any new rides are coming out too, or any new tech.
New tech, new foods, new specials.
Well, I want the Apple Vision Pro, please.
Yeah, can you knock like 95% off?
Them things are like $3,500.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, that was also one of our topics. And Marty has a personal question. She said, is Usher going to break it down tonight at the halftime show?
I mean, I think he has to, right?
He better.
We don't pay for this show for nothing. Yeah. I heard Reba McEntire is supposed to sing national anthem.
Yeah, all right. Country Queen.
Yeah.
Reba's Place, Hotel Coco. Hey, sponsored by Choctaw Beef. Ooh.
The SpongeBob show too. I think that's the beginning of it all. Sets it off with Boosie.
Yes.
Okay. We're gonna stray away from the main topics that everybody's we got down for. I guess Claire, do you wanna talk a little bit about your job as a curator?
Yeah.
Or what you do, or what is a curator?
Yeah, definitely. I am not an authority on this, but I am currently the curator at the Choctaw Cultural Center. This is my first year as a full curator, so pretty exciting, pretty new.
That's dope.
Thank you. For me, I think being a curator at the Choctaw Cultural Center, and who is Choctaw, it's beyond just like a museum professional. It's someone who's a caretaker of cultural heritage, basically. That's the whole point, the whole mission for me. And that comes in very like tangible forms, but also in a lot of the stories that I hear from people who are usually so generously donating their items to the center, their belongings, their families, heirlooms.
What's your favorite piece so far?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I'm very into contemporary Native American art. And there was this artist, Sarah Sense, who is Chittimacha and Choctaw. And she does weavings with like bamboo paper in basket patterns that are based on baskets that her grandmother has passed down in her family. And so there's this really beautiful kind of story through her work. Mm-hmm. And so I really wanted one of those for my exhibition at the center right now, Boca Baya, because it focuses on Choctaw basketry, and I wanted to show people how very much alive it still is in all these different ways. And I didn't even think I could get one of her pieces on loan because it can be quite an expensive endeavor even to get a loan. And then we ended up being able to purchase it. So that's one of my first big acquisitions for the permanent collection. And yeah, I love it. It's this like massive wall hanger. It's beautiful.
Golly.
It's very interesting.
Are you doing any work for the Choctaw Landing in the Ho Chi Minh?
Don't know how much I'm like. But there was the idea of throwing around curating a small space there. I think they went a different direction with a Choctaw artist trying to do a community project. Mm. So I was very happy to hear about that, actually.
That's cool.
But I will be transitioning from my role as curator soon to public arts manager for the Choctaw Nation. And part of those job duties will include helping at Ho Chi Minh Landing.
Oh, nice.
See what comes out of that.
Cool. You just don't hear a lot about this, so it's just really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen like most of the plans art-wise for the spaces, and I think it has a lot of potential. So,
I'm excited. The Durant Casino has a lot of good artwork in it, so
so
I was just curious.
yeah, it's I'm really happy because I'll get to be working a little closer with the artists and. Kind of reaching out to other Native artists, so it's really, I don't know, it just kind of like opens a lot more doors in the art world. So.
Nice. We love that.
Very interesting.
Anyone ask any questions?
No, that's about it. Well, for me anyways, I just really, you know, I've known you for about this past year. I just never knew or asked about what you really do.
That's okay.
But I have been to her exhibits before, and they're pretty nice.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
I see them all over, posted on social media, and they do look nice.
Thank you. You gotta come see it sometime.
I think, I don't know, I will. I'll try.
Just let me know. Yeah.
I haven't yet.
All right, so our boy Caleb, Rookie of the Year, was supposed to be here, but he just had to dip out for a second, I guess. I'm not totally sure where he's at. So our next topic would be about Brenner, butter sausage, and why is it in my face?
That was a joke, or
nah, earlier he yelled, "It really is in my face."
And I was like, "Why is it in your face?"
That was one of those things where, you know, I thought it'd be funny whenever you see the guy, Randy Savage, if you ever watched Black Sheep. That was one of the guy, character Randy Savage. He actually was on online interview with someone. He's like, "Is that not your jam?" He's like, "I don't buy jam, I buy honey." And I kiss him on the lips. So it just is funny where this dude's kind of out of his mind. But I just think, I didn't know what to really say on the podcast. But
I was petrified because I was like, who was doing this to you?
No.
I guess he thought I was playing and went riding
down.
Yeah. I'm like, riding down butter sausage in my face.
And I seen it.
I'll, Well, I'll actually add on, because I do have something to say, not necessarily about buttered sausage.
Go ahead, you might as well speak. Maybe you're speaking.
One of the things I do want to add on to, just get on the dovetail of Claire, was that, you know, Chocolate Landing is coming out, and there's other venues for art, so I actually have been selected to be one of the artists that contributes one of the walls within Chocolate Landing to actually do a stickball wall, and so I think they're doing pretty well on getting Choctaw artists to put the cultural aspect and actual inside the Choctaw country's available artists, or even people who are just familiar with like what the home life is like there. So I feel like that's pretty cool to actually see the casino there, the Choctaw Landing, actually want more artists that are there locally, not just to put any pan Native American items in there, because I think that's been a very big issue. Whenever guests come through, they want to see, you know, the powwow style, they want to see the bustles of like these fancy dancers, and that's not necessarily Choctaw. And so here we start to see how we as Chautauqua are really are. So a stickball, it is very common though, but it is one of those gates to bring, you know, the guests to be like, oh, you're in Choctaw country. You know, here is one of the aspects of Choctaw culture. And at the same time, you can have a good time at the resort. You can also, you know, understand parts of the removal of Choctaw people to the current times of the current areas where we actually reside. And we still make this our home. So I believe, you know, that's one of the things I feel very prideful to actually put my pieces into there. And I really don't think of myself as an artist. I just think of myself more of just someone that kind of helps supply some of the demand. But within the last few years, I feel like a lot of people really want to see more of these Choctaw people doing things with the Choctaw communities. And I feel like this is one of those opportunities to see that Choctaw Landing's really doing their homework, really giving back to the community in a way, but also bringing the community to all these people who come through where they come from, you know, bringing the actual cultural, the Choctaw culture to them. So I think that's one of the things I definitely wanted to say, you know, piggybacking off of, you know, Choctaw Landing. But there's other pieces too, not just here, or not just there in Broken Bow, but also, or Hochtown, I'm sorry, but also here in Durant as well. So I've also been, you know, asked to actually do some other pieces too that will get the actual hands of a Choctaw artist or a Choctaw person to recreate something that's going to be Choctaw specific and a Choctaw entity. So that's very humbling, I believe, because sometimes we have other artists, again, like I said, Pan-American and Native Americanism, where they're Choctaw artists, but they create like different types of paintings that they can identify as Native. And even though they may not live in Choctaw country, it's their way of identifying with, you know, being Native. And so either they may be a mix of other tribes, they may be, you know, learned or students of someone from a different tribe. It just brings more of this to actually a true, legitimate, like, fashion. So for that being said, it's always great to see, you know, that the Choctaw people, the Choctaw Nation, definitely within the marketing and the commerce level, that they're actually doing justice to us.
Oh, you're doing great. Doing good.
Okay.
That's all. Oh, that's what you have. Okay. Okay, so, I'd say my top.
Scripted.
It's really good.
It's really good. I liked it. It's not too bad. So, my topic would be, are y'all ready for taxis?
No.
I will say that too.
No comment.
If not, then if y'all see me with the helicopter, no, y'all did.
You don't even know how to spell Versace.
Toy helicopters.
No, just a little bit of a joke. That's a lot, not for real. So our next topic is about Caitlin's experience at Southeastern and Seminole.
How was that transition for you?
Well, I know we talked about it yesterday a little bit, but I guess you can say the same thing or whatever you want this time.
The transition, it was kind of like a cultural shock because I went from Seminole where there's a lot more natives and then coming here where you don't really see natives, like real natives, I guess you would.
Yeah.
But even like in NASA, there's not really like natives for real. It's just kind of just a group of people together.
And you're from Shawnee, right?
Shawnee.
Yeah, going from a city to a, what do you call this?
Small city.
To you.
So funny.
Big town.
Wait, it's a city to you, huh?
Yeah.
Claire?
So funny. This is the sticks. What? This is a city.
Little big town.
That's what I think of it.
Yeah.
Got a lot of character to it. Got a lot of
characters in it.
Yeah, a lot of tarantulas around here is what we call them.
I didn't know that was a thing. When they kept on, they kept on saying it. I was like, what are y'all talking about?
Oh, they're real.
Yes.
They see them, you're like, damn tarantulas.
I'm scared.
I'm scared.
I've been tarantulaed myself a couple times. It's not fun.
I think most people, or some people, would think, from the 580, definitely would think this is a city. Which it is, to me, it's a small city. But a very, very big town. Bigger than most.
Bigger than Brokenville.
We're still in the 580, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it don't feel the same.
It feels the same.
I think once you pass Hugo, going west, it ain't the same.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
It's like, you know, when you go from Durant from here to Broken Bow, the music starts changing. Yes. First, it's like hip-hop, and then by the time you make it to Broken Bow, it's complete straight banjo.
Off top.
When's the last time you've been to Broken Bow? You ever been to Broken Bow?
Well, yes.
sorry.
Yeah.
First time I met you was in
Brooklyn. I remember. Just a child back then.
Just a child.
Last time was probably like
4th
of July.
Mm. So what do you think about that place compared to here?
There's a lot more stuff to do here than in Brooklyn.
I got cell service over here.
That's true, yeah.
So how was Seminole like? So you went to Seminole, what, your first year or something like that? Yeah, and then you transferred here to Southeastern.
Yeah.
So how was Seminole?
Seminole was like high school. Because, I mean, all the people I went to high school basically went to Seminole.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right next to like Shawnee and over there, so I would still hang out with the same people, still do the same stuff. I just lived in the dorms.
Ah, so you had your own place.
Yeah.
Your own path.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was like still being in high school, just out of the rules.
Nice.
Dad, I was home by 8, so I don't know if he's going to listen to this.
Every night.
Every night.
And she was studying on time. Turned everything in on time.
Getting A's and everything.
Yes. And she wore her job. You play sports?
Not for college level.
Oh, I got you. Me neither.
I
knew if I went to college, I was gonna bust my knees. It was gonna blow out on me.
Yeah, see, like I thought about it, and you know, I was really into it. It's just one, I already didn't like school. So throwing sports on top of having to keep my grades up, it just wouldn't work out. And then plus, I had an injury in my high school sophomore year, and that just kind of ruined everything. Yeah.
Me, I don't remember being at home a lot. I was always on the road. I was always a year round athlete.
Yep, keep going.
Yep, I'm busy. Didn't have time for nothing.
And then, let's go to our next topic. If you're done, okay, that's fine. So the next one's for this is the one this morning I want to ask. It's about the softball World Series, NCAA, and alcohol.
alcohol. Oh, you're going to win regardless.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I plan on taking Ella to a game this season.
Take me too. Podcast.
They're already winning their weekend games already. They're 57-0 right now, I believe. Yeah. Fourth natty in a row. Boomer Sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch softball.
I keep up with OU by the time they get to, like, well, you know.
It's okay. That's fine.
Like, sorry, but they are very impressive.
Yeah, they are. They're hard at it. What about you, Kat?
Yeah, I keep up with it. Not as much as I used to, but I like looking at who they got on the roster every year.
Mm-hmm. Because they always switch up. Do you know, Donahue? Mm-hmm. Can't play no more.
Yeah.
She busted out her shoulder. She's done. Ooh. She was a 2-time natty champ with OU, then she transferred to Tennessee for the remaining of her school years. Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Oh, boom, boom. So, what was he going to talk about with alcohol?
Oh, alcohol, I don't know.
Like our favorite ones?
Knowledge
on this?
Sure. Like, I just want to know what type of person you are by the way you drink. By the way you drink, what you drink, how you drink it. Because I can say a lot. We can go, this could be a 24-hour podcast.
You're like the astrologist of alcohol right now.
I worked at a liquor store for 4 years.
It's like, if you drink Fireball, you're either really young or you're really fucking old.
It's like, there's no between because, like, you know, if you're drinking it still while you're in your 40s to 50s, it's like, goddamn, where's the, you don't have heartburn or, like, what's going on? Like, well, what you've been through, big dog, it's okay. Eske, what's your favorite drink?
Topos.
Nice. I don't know about topos. I don't know how I feel about the mineral water or water alone. What about you, Brian? What's your favorite brewski? Or your favorite drink? What makes you drop your panties, sir?
Oh,
gosh.
Let's do it. That's two different topics there.
I'm doing cheer.
I don't know. I don't really
get down like that
as much anymore.
You look a little papa over here to me.
Yeah. I just think, you know, something that's light, just to have, you know, a little bit of, like, relaxation. I think it's for most of it all. I do, like, IPA. Same time, you know, it's not too much of them. And if I do, then it's, like, flashbacks. But, you know, I think overall, just trying things out. I do enjoy, like, some seltzers, any kind, to be honest, but... Like I said, I don't drink daily, you know, or consistently like that. So, but when I do have a good time, I like to have a good time.
You're most definitely one of those people that need energy on the daily.
Yes, now, if you want to talk about caffeine, okay.
Gosh. So that's my boy shit.
That's something.
So addicted.
24 pack of shots.
Yes, I did. I bought some. Wow, where are you going? I'll be like that.
My heart is hurting.
Today. I had one today.
After a coffee.
Yes.
My chest.
After a coffee. My boy.
I think as you get a bit older, you want more of a lively feeling. So I think caffeine does more of that.
Yeah.
It's all like rain right now. I really like the thermogenics, just the way it makes you feel. It makes you a little... Makes you burn up a little bit. Makes you feel like I'm doing something. But Celsius, I always like Celsius, whether it's the smaller cans or they have the new bigger cans now.
Big Mamas.
Mm-hmm. but try not to over limit myself or over go over my limit, which is around 300 milligrams caffeine. That's the recommended amounts to take, you know, until you start having problems. So
do you just take it all at once or throughout the day?
Yeah, so it's like, you know, when I wake up. Depends on if I have it. If I have it around, you know, I'm able to.
Or do you just snort it and break it down?
No, it's all liquid form, usually. So those shots I bought, there, I'm trying them out to see how they are. They're about 250 a piece. And so, like, I'll just, you know, shoot that. It's 2 ounces.
So Brenda's going to be putting in the Gatorade this season.
Just chasing water. But the rains are 300s, but usually that's at the office. And so, and then coffee, you know, if I feel a little down during the day, it's just like I'll pick me up with coffee.
Yeah. Word. What about you, Claire? What's your favorite drink?
I was thinking about it, and I was like, I have like a whole roster.
Oh, I want to hear it.
It's like my chart, you know?
Oh,
my
good.
Chart for
Let's
drinks.
Get down to it.
I think beers, I love a stout. You know, in the U.S., Guinness is like pretty accessible. I'll drink. I'll fuck with a Guinness, of course. But I don't know so much.
They're like a hit and miss, yeah. Really. Like, mm-hmm. It just depends on what brand it is.
Yeah.
Like Guinness, yeah, they're pretty popular and they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're not bad, but I like the Mount Fort Brewery stout myself.
I like theirs, actually. We went one time and their stout was good. I was impressed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so, if I'm going to go in that realm, I think that's the move. A cocktail, I do really like a gin and tonic. It's just light and refreshing. So, you know, but it's sophisticated. You can put a lemon or a lime in there. It don't fuck with me like that. It never has.
But like the next day, I'm like,
It's just too dry for me, that's all.
I feel like I could, like, just drink it all night, like, ice in there. Like, it's just easy to sip.
You're a different type of breed.
Yeah, most definitely. You have definitely traveled the States.
Something like that, yeah. But I think my favorite is like Prosecco. Some type of like bubbly.
Very classy.
Yeah. Not too sweet, but not too dry.
Yeah, it's right in the middle. It's not too bad. It almost tastes like a watered down seltzer. Just with wine.
After hearing her talk about that, I think. Sorry. Sorry for the people.
You can talk about, like, you like whiskey sours.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I like whiskey sours, yeah. I think
we're not trying to ask how much you drink. No. What you like.
I think what I used to like a lot, and I kind of like introducing whiskey sours. Well, God dang. Whiskey sours. I used to like old fashions. Or sometimes Manhattan, you know. Those are pretty good. I like the orange and a little bit of smoky flavor with the whiskey.
Ooh, yeah, that is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I've had some good old fashions myself. Mm-hmm. I've had some decent gins. I hear the Hendrix is pretty good.
Yeah, I like Hendrix.
And the Orbeum especially.
Mm. Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. What about you, SK? What's your favorite cocktail?
I like to think I'm flavored in the cocktail room. Depends. I wanna what I wanna do. How I wanna feel. Sorry, I'm just looking at Brenda Man right now. I think personally, you know, and I'm just kind of like a bandwagon. It'd probably be Marnie's whiskey sours. I really like those. Specifically, Marnie's, the way she makes it.
Specifically.
Oh, yeah.
I need one.
Oh, I wish I had my stuff on me. It's not here. You can't pull it out.
Yeah, but she makes pretty good whiskey sours.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I think as I've gotten older, I've calmed down a lot. So just like to chill on that, and that's it.
Whew. Yeah. I know back in my younger days, it was rough. Drink anything inside. Ooh, wee.
Ooh-wee.
Just hurts. Think about it.
It's okay. It's the past. We're growing up.
Oh, yeah, but I still love tequila. I'll drink tequila any day, anytime. Mm-hmm. I like it on ice or just with a little tequila sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna do margaritas now.
I just can't get over the lime.
I could used to do shots of tequila, but now I'm just having a margarita.
Beer wise, I really don't drink beer no more. If I do, it's a Stella Artois, but yeah, I like a good Belgium. And then I like a good hard cider too.
Oh yeah,
I love a hard cider, especially this pineapple cider.
Oh,
I can't remember the name of it now.
I had a pear cider once.
Oh, it was Ace Pineapple Cider.
Ace.
Yeah,
that's a good brand.
Yeah, they're based out in San Francisco, so that's where their brewery company is, and that's where I want to go one of these days.
That's cool.
Like working at a liquor store, you just go in and each different store and see what they got.
Yeah, check
it
out.
It's pretty cool. I've seen some lot of cool things. Right now, Crown has a current bottle out. Crown Apple is a 25-year preserved bottle, so it's 25 years old.
Wow. So, Crown Apple?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to try it out. The bag.
It's so dark.
The case and the bag it's in, all looks nice.
Yeah.
Yep. And then my personal favorite's Weller. Oh, I love a black well, black label Weller. The 12-year. 12-year-old bottle.
She said, "Little Salade Wheel."
Yep. Give me that though.
Ooh.
Straight up on ice.
I like to come back to me on one of my. Like, I just thought about it. If you're drinking champagne for celebratory things, my go-to is Vavu Clicquot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh, you have exquisite taste, my boy. It's a French-made alcohol.
I just brought back some French champagne.
How much was the Vevu there?
I couldn't tell you. I really $10. I didn't drink too much while I was in France either because I was on my own. So
yeah, that's that. I get that, yeah.
I was like, let's not.
Let's play safe. I'm out here by myself.
Yeah. I get back home.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I just bought it. But the duty-free section and, like, all the airports, the alcohol section can be, like, crazy. And they have these just amazing sales. So
nice to know. I like Nicholas Fortoyer champagne. It's a brew. Oh, yeah, that one's also French-made. It's very smooth. It's a really good mimosa.
Oh, nice.
I was at Sam's Club the other day and I saw bottles of Clicquot for $54.
You lying.
Yes, $54.
The most I see them in the liquor stores, like, if you don't know, liquor stores are just gonna upsell it anyways. So it depends on the area. For like Ho Chi Minh, we got a 20% liquor tax, so it is jacked up there. It is recommended if you are to visit Ho Chi Minh that you bring your own liquor.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear all the complaining.
Makes sense.
Well, you good on speaking on alcohol and everybody's favorite drinks?
I think so. I'll get blacked out later.
Oh, I'd ask Caitlin, but apparently she's underage right now, unfortunately. It'll be alright. Time will come. So we're getting down to our last couple of topics. I guess I'll slide this one in. Is Dune 2 gonna release on its release date? Come on, man. I've been waiting on this since last year.
Dune 2. I really hope so.
Yes.
Come on, Timothy Chalamet. It's Zendaya. Baby mama's Zendaya.
My girl, Florence Pugh.
Oh, she's in it?
Yeah. Everybody
has to go. Isn't Austin Butler in it too?
Yes, yeah. Ooh. The blonde.
Man, that's crazy. Dave Bautista.
What else is coming out this year?
King Kong and Godzilla. Oh man.
So I'm ready for that movie. I still want to see that one. I just got done finishing all the Monarch series Apple TV. It was pretty good.
It was pretty good. I seen it too. Godzilla.
Yep.
All I guess we'll move along to our next topic, even though that was kind of short. So, we got a couple young parents here, and our subject is young parents in today's time. How are they?
As they both take drinks.
they both took drinks.
It takes a village. It really does. I mean, fortunate to have one. And, that's all I gotta say about that.
Oh, great.
I'm still fairly new, so I don't know what to say about it. It's fun, I love it. Like, it's rewarding in so many ways. But I got a long ways to go. I got a whole lifetime to go. So I'll get back with you on that one.
You know, I guess for me, as being a parent, I think my thoughts of having kids was just kind of like having a new village in a way. And I think as I grew older, I sort of realized that village would not be the same. It would be a different time, definitely, and different norms to come about. And so I think one of the things as being a parent is that when you realize that some of the parents that you had, or even grandparents you had, probably won't be with you. And so it's like you carry part of like your themselves with you. And I feel like that's one of the things I started to kind of, I guess, be more understanding. Because I feel like some things that I used to carry as a parent, a new parent, I think when my son, my firstborn, was probably maybe 2 years old, I was just, you know, like, thinking just to the natural, like, my parents, like, just do this and do that, you know, kind of like mentality where it's like, you know, almost triggering now, as people would say. And I used to think that's how things were ran, and it took me a while to actually understand that once you teach these kids actually how to be young adults, or they are young adults, they are, and they have their own way of thoughts, and they have their own, you know, likes and dislikes and some similarities. And so I think some of the funnest things I've started to see is like my attributes out of them. Also, like, there's so much things that come out of left field that's not even like me, but it's like, it's just their interest. And, you know, like Marnie was saying, it takes a village, and I feel like I'm very grateful to actually have had my grandparents, you know, there, and my dad, and my mom, and my uncles, and then, like, my siblings, the aunties and uncles, and even, you know, family that are distant cousins, and even friends that become, you know, partial families, too. Like, they all have a part in that, and I'm thankful for actually being involved in so many people's lives. That way, it goes back to my kids, too. And so for my kids, you know, I think, you know, they're always learning. They're always watching you. Even some noticeable thing, they notice it. And so, like, for my daughter, you know, she's just a smart girl. And she just watches and observes everything. And so I try not to do anything too outlandish in front of her. And then my son, he's just a wild child. And
steadily.
Yes, he is. But the thing is, though, he's so serving. You know, he's so like lighthearted to other people's feelings, and like it's just something that I never really didn't think about as me as growing up as a child. That was something I would actually want my son to do more. Because I think growing up for me, it was like, you know, it doesn't matter what your feelings are. Take care of your brother and sister. You know, that was one of the things I had growing up. But I wasn't their parent. You know, I was just the oldest, and so I think that was one of the generational, you know, curses, or the breaking of the generational curse that I think I've originally started to figure out later on, you know, and it took a lot of hurt. It took a lot of sacrifice too, because when my parents were being divorced, I was really blaming a lot of people for my own actions, in which I had to take accountability for. But for that, I sort of noticed that, like, I can't blame it on, you know, my parents for what they did, because they're just doing what they could do. And I think for my own relationship at the time with my ex-partner, you know, she was just doing the best she could too versus me. And I think when we're raising our son, like, we were both just so, like, split. And for this, you know, to see the kids, like, that was one of the things that we were always good at. And I think that we both had enough, like, trauma and a lot of, like, vacancy there, or, like, where people weren't there. Like, we were always there for the kids. And so I think that was one of the things that we both did well together. And so I think, you know, raising the kids, it takes, you know, that village where it's both, you know, the mother's side and it's the father's side and their family and her family. Like, if you start to separate ties, if you break those ties where it's like, I'm never going to let your parents see that, or let your dad see them, or your mom see them, like, that's just a very toxic environment. And then you recreate another curse. And so I think for me, seeing, you know, my family be so, I guess, forgiving and so, like, you know, inviting too. So it doesn't matter what relationship we had as a parents towards each other, that we both made sure that we were there together for the kids. And so, like, you know, with the kids itself, it is hard financially, and it is hard, daunting, you know, when you have them for yourself, when you don't have them at the same time. That's probably one of the hardest things on both ends. But for one, when you have them together, and when you, you're just taking every moment, you're soaking it in. And then when you don't have them, it's like where you're thinking about, like, what will I do now that will benefit them later on? And so I think for me, raising my kids now is that I'm always considerate of that. Like, I don't ever want to bring that big toxicity into their lives, that nor do I want to bring this hurts to them too, because they don't deserve that. We didn't deserve it as kids. And so it's kind of bringing that generational curse to an end. And so I think, you know, when you're raising kids today, that they are little adults. And so they'll have their own way of thinking. They'll love Legos. They'll watch Dancing Fruits. They'll
love the
Bimbo, Blicky, or
Blippi. Yeah, Blippi at one time.
Blippi, yeah.
And you'll buy an expensive present for them, but they'll want to play with the box. You know? it's just those little characters there. And so it's just like, you know, it just, I think every waking moment, you're just learning more about them and you're learning about yourself. And yes, it's our duty as a parent to make sure they're taken care of, you know, financially and supportive, but also emotionally. We as parents need to be more supportive. And I think that's one of the things that I didn't have, that I want to be there for them more. Because I think emotionally, I was probably too much emotional where I couldn't even figure my own stuff out. And so I think as parenting, you also need to be sound yourself to actually take care of another person. And I think I kind of relate that too, a bit about relationships too, because it's always about, you know, how can you continue on with another individual? And it's like with a partner, it's with your own kids, it's even with people in the community. And so I think as a parent now, and with a second child in a separated family, or I mean in a divorced family, it's like I always hated that thought. I was scared of it. But now that I'm having it, and just making sure that the you know, my ex-partner is very, very, you know, like, moving on and doing things for herself that the kids don't ever suffer. And so that's all, I'm very gracious to actually have that. And also, I also want to keep that relationship with her to actually make sure that we never had this type of turmoil with each other, because it would affect the kids. And so I think that's probably one of the biggest things as parenting today. Mm-hmm. In this sense, other than financial, other than schools, other than technology, like, those are all different aspects inside of that too. So this whole segment can go on and on, but just
yeah, but that is the gist of all of it, and that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, you still got a long ways to go. You get what, 11 years for your first?
No, I don't have 11 years. I have his whole lifetime.
Oh, so. Yeah, I'm talking about school wise.
Yeah, no, like, even after that, you know, when they're in college, when they're getting a master's, or if they're starting their job, their trades. I mean, I look at, you know, my parents or my grandparents, and they still supported me till I was 25, you know, or to 23, to 25. And then even just, like, you know, spiritual and mental advice, you know, I still lean on to them, and I still do. So that having a child will never end until you pass away. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
I got a question. I know I was there for both of y'all when y'all found out y'all was having y'all's kids. Mm-hmm. I know how y'all's reaction were. I've seen it, so. I know it is pretty scary, so if mm-hmm. somebody that is going to have a new baby, what would you say to them, knowing what you know now?
Mm-hmm. Take it in. It's going to be good. Mm-hmm. Breathe.
I would say, you know, for the dads, it's like, be up, you know, be aware, do everything, you know, do everything that's asked of you.
Stand like, on business.
Yeah, like, wake up in the morning, you know, do something extra, you know, to help the mom or to help the baby, you know, take that time off. Don't let work overconsume you. That will always happen, but for the kids that you have, when they're little, I mean, that's the last time they're going to be that same age, and they're going to get older and older. So I'd say, you know, just take the time. I know it's not as, you know, proper in this society, but, you know, actually take your days. Take your days to be with them, take them to the park, take them, or just spend time in the living room, just playing around, or just holding them when they're a baby, feeding them, you know, changing them, just all the little aspects. And like Marnie said, yes, I'll get all in. Do the work. Get up. Get your ass up and do it. Don't hand it to your grandma or your mom. You know, take a responsibility for your own child. So that's one of the things I think, you know, as a new parent, be open to consider all things or to take all things in and doing all things. Because if I start pointing it off to somebody else, then it's not my child. You know? But I think that's... I was telling someone new, and I was like, enjoy it, but also push yourself too. Push yourself because it won't last forever. And they'll be walking around, tearing things up. Next thing you know, they're starting to get ready to drive. Next thing you know, they're in college. Next thing, they're having their own kids.
Good topic. It's really deep. It's really deep.
Very.
That's what this podcast is about, though. It's just... whatever, you know, what people think, other people think, but experiences, and Brenner and Marty said pretty well. I like that. So. Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to stray away from the seriousness real quick, and it might be our last topic. And what are y'all's plans for the solar eclipse?
Slang. I mean, water, drinks.
Snow cones.
I think I'm going to go down there. It's April 8th.
Yeah.
And I think that will be my first video and audio of the podcast.
Ooh, go on.
So I got some equipment recently, yesterday, and I got to figure out how to start video and editing that. As well as audio.
Yeah, ask your sponsor for more equipment.
Good sponsor.
Big Cat, what you doing for the eclipse?
I didn't even know there was an eclipse happening until, like, yesterday.
What about you, Bren? What are you doing?
I don't know. I want to see what Ren's doing. And he might enjoy it from there, but if not, then I might work. I might not. We have an event at the Cultural Center. But it's for, you know, those who register, so it's not definitely open to the wide public. Mm-hmm. But if it's too crowded and it's, you know, taken care of, then I might just go home. I mean, or I might just stay here. I don't know. I do like the thought of seeing all the chaos at home in Brooklyn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm about to be up in it.
I might get on the sling in the water.
Come on, let's go. Let's do it.
I got some ice chests. I can actually keep cold water cold.
And Claire, you want to come help? If you have his eye, you got to work.
I'll be there. Don't worry.
So what they're saying about the eclipse in Broken Bow is that it's going to be 100%. The view is.
Yeah, it's 100%
so totality. To be dark. Like midnight almost.
Yeah, everyone back home.
When Brenner pulls the shorts down.
Yep.
It's the funny night. Muscle, huh?
Funny muscle.
Squirrel barking at the nuts.
Everyone back home's being told to stock up on food for like an extra 3 to 4 days.
Then if you don't know, you better listen to Marty right now.
Wow. You say that again.
Okay. So like back home, back in McKern County, everyone's, you know, if you're not listening to anything from Hochtown or even the Broken Bow Commerce page or Facebook page, you might want to start paying attention now, because everyone at home that lives in Broken Bow or Hochtown and the surrounding areas, they're being told to stock up on food, water, gas, and prepare for outages.
Yeah.
It's about to get real. It feels apocalyptic.
It does, yeah. It's about
to get real Western.
like my boss, he went to the lunar eclipse in Missouri in 2017, or the solar eclipse, last one, and he said he went to this little town, and they sold out of everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're even telling, like, all the kids are out of school for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of places are going to be closed. My crazy boss is going to be open, but I don't have to be there.
Thank God.
I know. And they're being told that to prepare. My coworkers are having to be told to prepare to stay the night at work for at least 2 days.
Be stuck like res dogs.
Oh, yeah. And there's also some word saying that people are going to start showing up anywhere from, like, that Tuesday and leaving Sunday.
And it's all just because people were wanting to see this eclipse, so that's, you know, them just taking over.
Yeah, and then, like, scientifically, like, I read that, you know, crazy people have behavior towards this, you know, it's just, people are so nosy that you don't even get to see this a lot either, so it's very interesting.
Watch your pets, too.
Oh, yeah, the rabid dogs and all that stuff, like, the animals are supposed to get confused. Like, a bunch of weird stuff is supposed to happen when this is going on. And you could also get a sunburn, so don't look directly into it.
You could have permanent eye damage looking at this.
Yeah, so it's some serious stuff, and you might want to read up on it or look it up and see what what everything's going to be at.
And for, like, the Choctaw Culture Center, they're using it to partially their advantage, but it's also, like, a remnants of one of the old prophecies. And so the prophecy, or the, not prophecy, but the story, I guess, almost like prophetic, was that the black squirrel was taking over or eating the moon. And so the Choctaw people thought, once the moon is gone, then everything is going to be out of whack. So loosely translating to today's people's society, where, like, people don't see the moon or see a gravitational pull, the water gets too flooded, it gets too, you know, crazy, hectic, that people's houses get washed away. So it's an old, ancient thing that they're correlating to, but it's also a bit of, like, an entertainment slash, you know, like, oh, come be nosy and see it, where the people who are being nosy enough are actually the ones causing all the chaos, where electricity, food, water, things, all the essentials can be exhausted. So it'll be an interesting thing to see, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to take Dad side by side. Whip it around.
And then again, didn't they warn that any confrontation is at your own discretion?
Yeah, law enforcement is limited, and so is medical care. So, like, we're expecting that at least 100,000 to 150,000 people in the area alone.
Just the force can't accommodate all that.
No.
Like, I mean, just in the area, it's not going to be one place. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it could be anywhere from Hayworth to Rat City.
Mm-hmm.
They can barely accommodate the towns now. Just like
on the weekends.
On the weekends. Monday, Tuesday.
It's going to be 20 times more people there than regularly in Broken Bow and Hochtownville area.
It is certainly going to give Southeast Oklahoma a big economic boom, because not a lot of people know about the area, the serene beauty of it, and the cabins itself, and it's just going to be...
Yeah, people are going to be impressed.
A growing franchise from then on, and I bet a bunch of business people are going to be coming in.
It's crazy, too, because this is Hochtown's first year being in the town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Yeah.
From that perspective.
Yeah, and also Choctaw Landing is booked out for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Already, and they're not even open yet.
But can I at least come in and play one machine?
I gotta pay to be in here.
There's supposed to be, like, a nice cantina, like, area.
They got 9 cabanas in their pool. I was wanting to get one for Ella's birthday.
What, 2 years?
I swear, she'll be like 5, but we're going to Disney World then. I took her for her first birthday. We stayed at the Durant Resort.
Oh,
yeah. That's nice, wasn't it, Brenner?
Yeah. I wasn't there, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, if you get a chance to stay there, I would certainly most try. It's pretty fun.
I would like to.
Mm-hmm. Like, the pool alone was amazing. It was fun. It was huge. Mm-hmm. Something for everybody.
All right, guys. That's all of our topics for today. Unless you want to say something else, talk about something else. We're going to close it off from right there. And you want to say goodbye?
See you later.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. Really appreciate it. So we'll catch you on the next one. Yo, Cookie.